As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, we wait with great anticipation for the coming of your Son, the Messiah. We pray that the hope, peace, and joy of your word made flesh will penetrate our hearts and fill us with excitement and joy this Christmas season. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. So climate change and global warming are huge subjects these days. And there are conferences. There's one going on right now in Madrid. There are various agreements, and as we know, the Paris Accord, where really world leaders are trying to agree to cut greenhouse emission, conserve water, and stop the ozone level from disintegrating. All reports would indicate that the planet is suffering with an outdated and a catastrophe is waiting to happen. On a local level, we are continuing with talks to replace an outdated water treatment plant. I'm not too sure about the garbage, about the dumps here. I don't even know where they're located. Where are they located?
Close to my house.
Sorry, where?
Close to my house.
Up Alberni, Rochet?
South,
okay. And it was probably built in like the 1920s or something. Isn't that interesting? I don't know where that is. We now know that it takes hundreds of years for plastics to decompose, and we've seen pictures on TV of the sea with plastics and everything on it. We're in danger of groundwater becoming... This does get better, I'm telling you right now. We are in danger of groundwater becoming contaminated by leachate from rotting organic material. And everywhere we turn, the news just gets worse. The fear factor's in high gear, and there's plenty to be afraid of. I think it's interesting that during this time of the year especially, there would appear from all the reports that hope, peace, and joy are in short supply. Except if you watch those TV movies, which I have watched. You've all watched them, right? I know. So this third Sunday in Advent, we're called to experience joy. So how can we possibly experience joy when everything looks like a mess? And in the time of the prophet Isaiah, the world was a scary and fearful place. The northern kingdom was under assault by the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom was next on the list. And life was difficult for the people of Israel. Wars were a constant reality. Wars brought bloodshed, the destruction of crops, livestock, homes, and families. Everything you'd ever taken for granted was under siege. And fear finds a perfect environment to grow and fester. Are things any different today? It does get better this soon, I'm just telling you. If you turn on the news or read the paper, we're told that the church is breaking up. Did you hear that latest one? By 2040, I think, the Anglican Church is not going to be, that's what they'd say. Divorce is on the rise. Gangs are invading neighborhoods, and terrorists might be living next door. Okay, and so we begin to believe that everything we read or hear is true. And what God has to say throughout history does not apply. We lose sight so easily that God is in control. Not CNN, not Google, not Yahoo, not Instagram, not Facebook, not Twitter. Have I missed any? God. So instead of taking a deep breath, settling down, and believing God, we assume a primitive position of fight or flight, fear or anger. And boy, can we ever imagine the worst possible scenario and project that onto our pastors, our leaders, our employers, our spouse, or our children. So here's the thing. God does not check out when things get rough. He doesn't turn tail and run I'm out of here. He doesn't take his toys and go home. God says, you are my people, and I am your God through thick and thin. And through his prophets before, and we have prophetic voices today, God declares the great I am. I am here in the midst of impossible odds and suffering. In the midst of suffering, fear, and anguish, the prophet Isaiah brings a message of hope and joy. And the prophet is seeking to assure Israel that God is present in their suffering. He is present to strengthen their hands and make firm their weak knees. There you go, Sheila. The Lord speaks words of hope and peace to those who have ears to hear. He says to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. The words of the prophets echo change. And change is coming, the change in areas that we might think are impossible. Wilderness and dry lands and deserts where we rejoice and blossom. Where flowers rarely bloom, the first growth of a spring garden appears, the crocuses. All sorrow, despair will flee and joy will come into the lives of God's people. Not fun, but joy. God says, view your lives in technicolor, not in shades of gray. Those gray tones of living cloud our day-to-day existence, where we have a sense of just existing, of going through the motions. This lack of joy, experienced by both believers and non-believers, was brought home to me this week in a discussion I had with a family member. Someone very dear to them, a person who seemed to have everything, a well-paying job in the field of their choice, a regular church life, a wife and three children, a beautiful home, all the outward signs of success. Yet, in a moment of absolute vulnerability, they said they had no joy. Life had become routine, predictable, and sluggish. This was a person who had everything to live with, but had nothing to live for. Someone who had everything, yet had nothing. And this is the essence of this magnificent passage from Isaiah. Circumstances, situations, and things do not define God's presence, God's purpose, or God's power. Isaiah didn't make false claims to the Israelites. He didn't say there's going to be a quick and speedy end to Israel's suffering. Instead, he breaks through with a vision of beauty and encouragement. And using the metaphor of a parched dry land, he assures them that spiritual deserts are replaced by color, filled with living water and shining with God's splendor. God's intervention has miraculous results and is intended to bring God's joy in the midst of suffering, persecution, chaos, and uncertainty. I think part of the issue here is that we equate the joy of the Lord with happiness. Scripture understands joy as a choice we make to rejoice rather than whether we feel happy or not. Would that be a challenge? Whether we feel happy or not, we can still claim joy. Second fruit of the Spirit. I'm not talking about jumping up and down with glee. I'm not talking about that. Rejoicing in times of hardship is somehow giving thanks for all the things we know deep inside that God can see us through anything. It's acknowledging again and again and again that God is in charge and in control. Joy does not depend upon luck or events. It is solely based on God. Nehemiah 8:10, you know this one. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Think about that. The joy, not my joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we can access that anytime, anytime we want. Joy is the gift of Jesus that is given to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can't buy it. We can't manufacture it. We can't fake it. We can't produce it on a 3D printer. And we cannot procure it by our own self-will. Because biblical joy is centered in trusting God and his commitment to us. And God knows. Psalm 139:2, you know this one. He knows everything about us, our rising up and our sitting down. How well do we know God? Some of us may find our relationship with God strained or distant, or we'll get to it when we're retired. We're too busy right now, or we simply don't care. Maybe we think this is for other people, for the paid professionals, or like clergy, or the unpaid, like the deacons. I'm sorry about that. But you get paid in other ways, right? Okay. Or for the monks. The thing is, it is our choice how close we want to be. God will never force himself on us. He will not make us love or live in obedience. He will not make us love him or live in obedience and trust. God has done everything divinely possible to draw us to him. What have we done? We still resist, and we still remain unteachable. I was telling someone the other day, when I die and I stand in front of the Lord, you know the first thing I'm going to say? I am so sorry I didn't trust you. How many times in my life, in your life, oh, I don't trust, no. And then looking over God's shoulder just to make sure God's doing it right. We will never experience the third promise of Advent if we look for joy outside of Christ. We may derive a great deal of satisfaction and fulfillment in hobbies and work or possessions or even helping others. The joy that a relationship offers with the Prince of Peace is so much more than that. While happiness and gladness are often used as synonyms for joy, that is not what the biblical writers had in mind. Joy has its origins in God. And the source of joy is from God and is given as a gift from our Creator to us. But like any gift, if it is not opened, it remains what? A box with pretty ribbons. And Isaiah reminds the people of Israel of the greatness and the power of God with these words. I love this. When he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unplug the ears of the deaf, and the lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing with joy. Isaiah is saying, expect a miracle. Be realistic. Expect a miracle. And it is the miracle of an impending birth to a young peasant girl. This baby, whose name will be Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, whose birth will open eyes, loosen tongues, heal knees, give rest to hands, and open pathways that have been blocked. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And Jesus is coming. I'm going to say this story again in a couple of weeks. He's coming to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free, and deliver prisoners from darkness. Open our hearts. Open your hands and your mind to receive the gift of joy. Ask for it. Say, Lord, fill me with joy. Because I have not been seeing my life in technicolor. Because it's a wonderful life. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands, for the gift that keeps on giving. And we await the coming of the Messiah. And we lit that third candle to shine in the darkness. And let this represent the light of Christ burning inside each one of us. That's where Christ lives, shining out so the whole world can know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come as King. Rule in our hearts, come as love. Rule in our minds, come as peace. Rule in our actions, come as hope. And rule in our days, O Lord, come in joy. Amen.